Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Stress is a result of a thought that's gone awry. It's an indicator that something that we're thinking, doing, or saying is compromising who we really are. I have found as a medical intuitive, stress is the common denominator in all illnesses in the physical body and is the underlying cause of dis-ease, meaning congestion, protrusions, blockages, depletions in the energy body. The function of stress is to reveal how strongly we're holding on to old thoughts and patterns of behavior that really are causing that compromise. And truly the purpose of stress is to let us know that something in our life, something we're thinking, something we're doing, maybe something that we're interacting with is really a catalyst for change. Stress is the initiator of change. It creates the attention that we need to change something in our life. I've also found that stress is the soul's way of telling us that it can't bring forth its physical expression because we continue to engage in what makes us stressed. One of the things I've also learned in all the work that I've done is that the soul is always trying to find physical expression. It doesn't really see any experience as good or bad or right or wrong. It just sees experiences as, are you in alignment with your truth? And when we get stressed, we're not. And it's just basically that simple. Well, thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is stress really does make us sick. And as I said, it is the common denominator of all illnesses. It is what creates that dis-ease in the energy body and can change the flow of energy that can really keep us caught in those old patterns of thinking and so forth. So I'm going to be talking about stress. I'm going to be looking at it from what it does to the physical body, what role your personality plays in the whole stress dynamics, and then also what can you do to de-stress yourself. And I thought it was really interesting because if you spell stress backward, it's desserts. And I mean, any of us that love desserts can tell you that that's one of the ways we turn to be able to soothe that stress part. Maybe not the best thing for the body as far as the sugar, but it does have a psychological impact. So I'm going to be talking about all of that. I'm also going to be taking your calls and sharing your my medical intuitive skills with you. I almost slipped there because a lot of you are really very good medical intuitives, but I'm going to be sharing my skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or about relationship that can be creating stress, then I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and then also for international callers. Well, I mentioned that personality has a lot to do with stress, and anyone that studies stress will say to you that there are personalities that are specifically type A. That does tend to be true, but in the reality of my world and personality, every one of us is a type A because there is some things that may cause us stress that won't cause other people stress. So when you go in and you start looking at yourself, you look at your life, you really have to start with yourself. And I've found that personality is the best way to do that. Why? Because our personality and the traits associated with it are really what tell our brain. It's a neurological hardwiring that tells our brain to be able to gather information a certain way, either through the five physical senses, or where you have to see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or through what I call vibe mail, or that ESP, that intuition, those hunches, that insight. So we gather information in either of those two ways. Now, if you gather information based on the five senses, you can back it up and support it with intuition. Or if you start with intuition, you can back it up with the five physical senses. But your personality determines what is your preference for gathering information. Also, how do you process that information and how do you make decisions? If you make decisions based on logic and you try to make them based on emotional judgment, good or bad, it's going to be the wrong decision. That creates stress. If you make decisions emotionally, meaning that the decision has to feel right within you, feel right within your gut, it has to just feel right to where it's not causing any kind of compromise. If you step out of that emotional decision making, meaning that it has to be right or wrong or good or bad or pleasant or unpleasant in the outcome. If you compromise that emotional decision making, voila, you're in stress. So it's very important that you start by understanding who you are. Metaphysicians of ancient times always believed that the only way that someone could de-stress themselves and remove ill thoughts was to know thyself and start with personality. If you're not familiar with my personality work, you can, I have a lot of books, What Colors Your Personality, Your Health, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It, and every single one of those books has a full assessment, 60 statements that literally talks to your brain, and it says to your brain, identify, how do you gather information, how do you make decisions? Now, we can become whole brain, we can become expanded in our consciousness, but when we get stressed, we always go back to our personality neurology, the dynamics that we are hardwired with. So in my books, there's assessment and you'll start out and then voila, you will become a color, a red, orange, yellow, or green. Now, if you don't have the book and you're really just interested in getting started, then you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the tab personality. And what you'll do is there's a mini assessment. And it has some, you know, validity to it, not as much as the statistics around my long form, my long version, but it'll get you started. It will help you understand your color. And then I have a second website, www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com, and there's a personality assessment on there as well. The mini assessment on both of the websites are free. It'll give you a sense of who you are, and then you can start the process of saying, okay, I'm an orange and I'm a green. That means that I make decisions. I'm an orange or a green, and I make decisions based on it having to feel right. Anytime you step out of that and compromise, you get into stress and you get a fight or flight. You may be a red or a yellow that says that you make decisions based on logic. Anytime you try to make a decision, trying to make it feel right, then it's going to be the wrong decision for you. And as a result, you'll go into fight or flight and you'll experience stress. So again, www.ritberger.com or www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. And remember, what stresses me as a yellow may not stress you as an orange, but you have your own stressors. And it's important to know that. And why for the neurology? Because it changes the entire chemistry of the body. It puts that body in fight or flight. And then as a result, it's difficult for the body to restore itself back to some kind of harmony vibrationally or a chemical well-being that can allow the body to be able to heal itself. And if you stay in a stressful situation and a compromised situation, maybe a job, maybe a relationship that causes you to function outside of your personality trait neurology, then what's going to happen is over the course of time, and really in a very short period of time, you're going to fall victim to chronic stress that can ultimately lead to chronic illness. And I'm going to be talking about that as well. So again, start with knowing thyself. We certainly all have, we all know that stress is hard in the body, but let me tell you why it's hard on the body. During times of stress, nerves release a large amount of a neuropeptide Y. And this neuropeptide Y is a hormone that prompts the immune system to recognize and attack pathogens. However, high levels of neuropeptide Y also inhibit the attack function. So it's like sending two different messages. It's when we get stressed, we have adrenaline, corticosteroid, and cortisol, which then affects the immune system, affects the brain's ability to be able to send the message it needs. The nerves release this large amount of neuropeptide Y that tells the immune system to attack whatever is creating the stress. It could be food, it could be thoughts. The immune system is running around going, where is that thought? Where is that thought? And then at the same time, it sends out these high levels of this neuropeptide Y, that then sends the mixed message to the immune system. Oh, sorry, wrong message. I want you to attack something. I'm not sure what, but don't attack anything. And what it does is it makes it easier for the allergens, the bacteria and the viruses that we're always being exposed to basically thrive. This explains why people, when they get into a real stressful situation, and there's a wonderful stress test that you can take that can go in a day identify the level and the degree of stress that you have. It's the, I just lost the name of it. I'll have to put it on my website. But it's the typical stress test that we take. It's on any website that has, basically all websites that have any kind of stress test. But what it does is it goes in and it lets you know how stressed are you. If you've been experiencing a divorce or the loss of a loved one or a loss of a pet, your stress level, this neuropeptide Y, is running around in large quantities. And that explains why people who are under acute stress, means sudden stress, or chronic stress for a long period of times, has more of a predisposition for getting colds or flus, and then again a general sense of maladies. And so what it is the immune system isn't able to do its job. Many chronic illnesses are the result of chronic stress, as I said before, but let me explain what I mean by chronic stress. It's when someone lives in a constant state of unresolved issues. And that means that we have something that we maybe know on some level psychologically we need to deal with, but for some reason we either don't have enough information, we're not feeling physically up to it, maybe we're not psychologically up to it. So what we do is we take that unresolved issue and just kind of put it on the back burner. Well, that chronic issue that's there on that back burner continues this flow of adrenaline, corticosteroid, cortisol levels becoming increased in this neuropeptide Y, and ultimately the body just becomes fatigued, tired, breaks down. So when we have these unresolved issues, we're consumed chronically with the negative emotions, the ruminating about it. We have a lot of strong emotions, maybe the fear, maybe the guilt that we're not dealing with it. We worry about how it's going to affect our lives, how it's going to affect our body. We may have some resentment around the fact that we don't have enough time to be able to deal with it, or resentment toward the people or the situation that caused it. But the most important thing that ultimately happens with chronic stress is that it shows up as a chronic anger that really impacts our attitudes in our life, that goes from those positive attitudes to those negatives. We start self-talk, such as, I can never do anything right, I'm always tired, my body always hurts, and we literally program the body into that stress situation. So when I look at chronic illness from a medical intuitive standpoint, I go in and I really have to look at it from the standpoint of patterns of thinking, of attitudes. What is the emotion that someone has around that chronic illness? And how can that chronic emotion be brought forward? For example, if you're a green personality, that chronic emotion that you feel that can let you know that you're compromised, that creates stress in the body, is sadness. Anytime you hit that place of sadness, it has that level of stress. There's the anger behind the sadness that it can't go away, or you don't have any control over it, or maybe somebody else has control, and then all it does is perpetuates the sadness, and that sadness can break down the body in a chronic way. And that can lead to fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. Each one of the personality colors has an emotion of choice that your soul uses that basically tells you when you hit this emotion, then what you do is it's time for you to change. The red personality, it's sadness. The green personality, it's sadness. They're the only two colors that are opposites in my world of personality that share the same emotion. Then we go into the orange personality and their emotion of choice, the one that really lets them know that they are in a state of fight or flight and stress, is guilt. And then for the yellow personality, it is anger. And again, you can feel a little guilty, you can feel really guilty, or you can be a little angry, or you can be so angry that you can't seem to get out of your way. And the emotional charge around that emotion really is an indicator not only how long you've been carrying this emotion and dealing with this issue, but also how it's going to affect the body. And in my book, What Healing Happens With Your Help, Understanding the Hidden Meanings Behind Illness, which is available through Amazon or hayhouse.com, I actually map emotions in the organs and glands and the muscle structure. A lot of aches and pains that we have around guilt is in our right shoulder. It can be in the right lung, so right breast area. So again, I have a lot of ways to look at it, but you have to start by understanding who you are. So when you get into these unresolved issues, the best thing to do is that you have to come in and you really have to take the time, take the deep breath, detoxify through breathing, through relaxation responses and techniques, which I'm going to be sharing a couple simple ones at the next segment in the show itself. But it's important for us to detox not only the stress in our physical body, but detox the mind, distracting it to do something different. Rebecca and I were talking before the show that anytime we get any kind of discretionary, what we call downtime, it doesn't, we don't know what to do with it because we're so busy being busy that when we get that, sometimes that can cause stress until we realize, oh, I need to do something that diverts my mind in a different direction. And the stories that Rebecca and I tell before we go on the show and so forth are things that all of us deal with. It's not just unique to us. Rebecca is a different personality color than I am. So as a result, what stresses her may be different than myself, but you can see in that conversation, we both need to be able to allow our mind to just shift gears, see things differently. Every single personality does. And that's the gift of understanding the emotional aspects around how emotions are a barometer. They tell us if we're a little angry, we have an opportunity. Stress is just welling up inside of us. It's not to a point where it could create any kind of harm to our body. Let's deal with an issue. If I'm too busy and I don't want to deal with the issue, I can just put it on the back burner, sweep it under the rug, but it's not going to go away. So then it'll come up, a situation will trigger that again, and then it'll come up. But now it's stronger, and I can say to myself, I need to deal with this unresolved issue now, or I'm busy, and I put it on the back burner, and then it becomes stronger and stronger until it reaches a place where you can carry anger in your lower back in the sciatic area, where you get into the lumbar part of the back. You can have the fear of unknown, the fear around survival, the anger that you, no matter how hard you work, you can't get. And it just goes on. And you can see just from the little bit I'm sharing how those emotions can build on themselves and ultimately create the chronicness that happens with a lot of the chronic aches and pains that we have. So really, when we look at stress, it's very important for us to be mindful of our emotions, very mindful of the well-being or the lack of it in the physical body, and let the body talk to us, because the soul uses the body to be able to tell us not only the emotion we're carrying, but also where it's impacting the body. All the mind is doing is running around up there in its brain and just trying to figure out, first of all, what even the problem is. So again, body talk, the way that we look at the body, the way we look at energy, all of those things can tell us that we're stressed, and stress is the common denominator behind all illnesses. When I first started saying that, doctors would say, now come on, Carol, but if you look at the statistics, 95% of all illnesses that literally send us to the doctor, I believe it's higher, but that's what statistically is said, that 95% of all illnesses that ultimately send us to the doctor has a stress base to it. And if medicine and doctors would ask someone, are you stressed? And ask you about that stress, just being able to express it and talk to someone actually is a wonderful stress reduction process. So again, I'm going to be talking more about, you know, the soul's connection with stress and how it uses it, and then sharing some ideas. But I want to jump right in, and let's go to line one. Hi, Gail from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, I'm freaking out. My hair is falling out rapidly, and I'm actually on the way to the doctor this afternoon. This has been happening for a year now, but it's picked up in the last 2 months, I would say. And just so talk about stress. It's so distressing.
Absolutely. My gosh, you know, there's nothing, you know, that really triggers, especially in females, stress is the fact that we're, you know, having hair loss.
Yeah.
So when you're going to your doctor, because I know we've talked before, when you're going to your doctor, hun, are you going to talk to him about alopecia?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I've seen a dermatologist, and I actually talked with, I think she's a naturopath.
Good.
And the dermatologist was no help, quite frankly. But the naturopath was suggesting that it's some adrenal fatigue that may be impacting my thyroid. I am in menopause, and I've been having hormonal issues. which I know could all be contributing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The naturopath is very, very on to something because it does, when our hair shedding is tied to the thyroid's ability to function properly. When we get in menopause, the thyroid doesn't frankly know what it's supposed to do. In a hypothyroid situation, hypothyroidism, then it can create hair loss. The reason that I came up with alopecia, hun, is that your hair loss feels to me, as it did before, that it's not just a general shedding or more than a general shedding. I can get the thinning aspect of it, and it's not to negate what the naturopath suggested you talk about, because it's absolutely right on. But you've got a duality that I'm picking up around it, is we need to look at that. So are you going to ask for a baseline blood work to look at where your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is?
I am. That's what I'm going
Perfect.
To get the lab.
Perfect. And then also, would you, when you're talking to the doctor, ask the doctor to look at the overall hair loss from that thyroid potential, but also the fact that you feel like you have areas where the hair is being lost in larger clumps.
Okay.
You're not experiencing female baldness. And that's one of the things that the doctor says, oh, well, this is a female baldness syndrome.
Right.
I don't believe that's
what the dermatologist told me.
Yeah, not to negate, but I truly don't pick up that this is what it is, because I'm not picking up that in the family history, but I am picking up thyroid issues in the family history, but I'm also picking up this alopecia. And what it is it's an immune system compromise. There's an inflammation that happens in hair follicles, that happens in areas within the brain, on the scalp itself, that can cause the hair to fall out and then not regenerate because of damage to the follicles.
Yeah.
So just ask about it, and then take the information, and then if it's something that, you know, the doctor says, well, that certainly could be part of it, go back to the naturopath, see what you can do to be able to address both issues in a way that is healthy to your body. Because a lot of times with the medication that they give for the alopecia, or even for the female hair loss, the Rogaine that they will put women on, as well as men and everything, that's not going to give you what you're looking for, sweetie.
Yeah, and I've been reluctant to do that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my system more in balance, and if there is inflammation, to, you know, somehow be in better balance, maybe that would go away. I don't know if that's good thinking or...
No, it is. And let me connect the dots for you there. When the naturopath talked about adrenal fatigue, when the adrenals become overstimulated, or they basically kind of what I call lose their memory, to be able to remember that they are part of the fight or flight, but they can shut down. They don't need to be like that ever ready bunny that is always just going and going and going. Mm-hmm. What that does is it causes a hypersensitivity to the immune system, and then the immune system sees anything that maybe you put in your mouth, or any kind of medication or even supplements. The immune system becomes mixed in how it reads things, and it sees everything as an allergen.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, it is hyperactive, and it creates an overzealous, what I call overzealous, inflammatory response. So a couple things that you can do. Working with a naturopath for adrenal fatigue is a good place to start, no matter what the tests show.
Okay.
Going in and looking at thyroid, my sense is that if you're not falling off the scale from a doctor's standpoint, you're pretty darn close to it. So if the doctor runs a TSH test and comes back and says you're fine, ask him exactly where on the scale, what that scale is, and then take that back to your naturopath.
Okay.
And then also go in and, working with the adrenals, it'll help the immune system. And then also work with some immune system support. You can do that through food, greens, red, orange, yellows, kind of that rainbow diet aspect of it, blues from a blueberry. I always can have aloe juice that I can see as kind of a blue, even though it really isn't, but it works and metabolizes that way. So look at what you can do to restabilize your immune system. Ask the naturopath about alkalizing. What can you do? That's why I suggested the aloe juice. It's a natural alkalizing cooling the adrenals, cooling the gut, cooling the immune system, and it can help with the inflammatory response. So a lot of things there. But again, good for you for going to the doctor, because it'll be difficult to run the type of tests that are needed through a naturopath.
Yeah, right.
So then you'll have your baseline.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm looking to be bushy-haired again.
Very, very good. And one of the things is that if you can get all of these things in place, and again, even the inflammation I'm picking up in the hair follicles themselves, even though the hair follicles may appear to be dead, they really aren't dead. We can replace hair in that area by just doing some of the things. And your soul just gave me a last message. And I don't know what you're going to do with it, but it gave it to me anyway. Your soul said, tell Gail to stop thinking as hard as she's thinking. And it's like, well, I can't do that. Her neurology is she's a thinker.
Yeah.
But what your soul said is that think about things that heal instead of things that perpetuate the stress. And I don't know. I become this voice for the soul. And I think, you know, the combination that you're looking at doing, this is one that you're going to be able to get some answers, put on the back burner and not think, you know, yourself, because our scalp actually gets hot when we think too much. I know that sounds really kind of woo-woo, but it is true.
I'm hearing it.
Does.
It. I'm receiving it.
Yeah, so that's what your soul said. So I don't know, you can call, you know, Rebecca and I, and we can share what we're doing, sometimes really effective, and other times we can just kind of commiserate with each other and have a good time. How about that?
Yes, that's great.
Okay, sweetie, good luck at the doctor and everything,
okay,
and thanks for calling me again.
Okay.
My pleasure. Well, what I will do is I'm going to come back. I am going to try to fit in as many calls as possible. So if you are on the line, please stay on the line. I'm going to be right back to talk more about how your soul uses stress to be able to tell us there's something that we need to change. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is how stress really does make us sick. I am taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's for the U.S. and Canada, and also international callers, same number. Just use your international calling card. Also, I'd like to invite you to my free August Your Health teleclass. It's going to be taking place on Thursday, Wednesday, August 26th at 5 o'clock p.m. That's Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic for the month of August is chronic fatigue syndrome. It's interesting how I'm going to be talking about that, and I'm really going to be talking a lot in that teleclass about the effects of stress and the psychological contributors behind chronic fatigue. And that's one of the things that I do in the teleclass. It's 60 minutes in length. It is free, as I said, other than if you have to pay for long distance calls or toll calls. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking about the clinical aspect of chronic fatigue, some of the causes that we know clinically and through research actually triggers chronic fatigue or CFS. And then also I'm going to be talking about some of the more controversial research that's being done that shows that there's other things than the obvious. For example, that the furnace burners within the cells of mitochondria that in chronic fatigue due to adrenal fatigue, that it changes the way these little furnace burners work in the physical body, and that creates an overall sense of a debilitating fatigue. So I'm going to be sharing the psychological aspects of it. What does chronic fatigue look like in the energy field? How does it map in the chakra systems, the role your personality plays in CFS? And then also suggestions both from a conventional, traditional medicine perspective, which you can expect, and then also alternative choices that you have to be able to deal with it. Very, very insightful. A lot of you have been sending me emails with your own stories, areas that you have your own questions around. Please do that. If you have a question about CFS, chronic fatigue, email me. Go to my website, www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R. Submit your questions, and then what I'll do is I include that in the research in the preparation for the CFS teleclass. Again, that's August 26th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. It is free. I'm going to be staying on the line after the teleclass for about 20 to 30 minutes and answering questions just exactly like I'm doing right now. So because it's free, you can register online, www.ritberger.com. Share it with a friend. If you know someone, a loved one, a family member, somebody at work, a friend that has CFS, you might want to suggest that they join me. And then 4 days following that teleclass, I will have an audio download available for purchase, and then also a printable PDF reference sheet that goes through a lot of information that I may not get to cover on the teleclass call itself, but it will be there for you to have reference should you suffer from it or want to share it with someone else. Also, my Your Health teleclass in July was on allergies, and that audio PDF and then also that printable PDF is now available for purchase. The audio PDFs are $11.95 and the PDF printable one is $5.95. And I find a lot of people are now collecting all of them. I have 15 of them online right now. They're collecting them not only if they're in the world of healing, in the health and healing and assisting other people, or for their own use. So again, www.ritberger.com to register, and then also for the teleclass coming up August 26th, and then also for purchasing the PDFs. Well, at the beginning of the show, I actually mentioned in some of the statements that I started it out that the soul actually uses stress to bring our attention to the fact that something we're thinking, doing, or saying isn't allowing us to bring our soul into physical expression, meaning that there's something in those areas that is really preventing us from really being able to express the uniqueness of who we are, to be able to take those inner talents and strengths that we have and bring them in to the manifestation through our words, actions, and deeds. And what happens is when we get into that compromised position, also in those thoughts, and the stress aspect is an indicator, whoops, we need to look at something in our life that is unresolved, being able to go in and change it. It's difficult for us to find joy in life. And that's one of the things I learned first and foremost when I was in my near-death experience, is the fact that what we do is when we get into that stress, we lose the joy in life. And that's really what life is all about. Now, joy is a continuum. You can be a little joyful and you can be just ecstatic with everything. But again, it's about the soul sees every experience, every thought, everything that we do as an opportunity for us to learn from that experience. And if it's in alignment with our soul, our purpose, and adds meaning to our life, then we have a joyful experience around it. If we find that we experience something that creates stress, our soul is saying to us, Step back, take a deep breath, look at this. Is this something that you want to perpetuate and continue, or is it something you want to change? That really is that when that fight or flight signal goes off and we experience that first flow of adrenaline, corticosteroids, and cortisol that comes from that stress, it is saying, take a deep breath, stop, act on it now. If we say no, we act on it later, then all it does is perpetuates the stress. So see stress as a positive and not as a negative from that standpoint. But again, if you've been carrying a lot of stress, maybe you're in a stressful job and you're, you know, you can't get out of that particular, you know, position or that, you know, you're not ready to walk away from the job. See what else is available. What else can you do? First, relaxation response, or is there another opportunity within the company that you work for? There's always options. That's important to know. I want to be clear when I say that the soul is using stress to be able to alert us that something that we're thinking, doing, saying isn't alignment, but very clear and saying that the soul isn't punishing us for what we're doing. Its intention is really to heighten our awareness so we can become engaged. And how do we do that? Present moment. When we're in the present moment, we're able to really feel in our physical body, in the confusion in the mind, that mental chatter, that drain of energy we may be feeling in that present moment. We're really able to use stress to say, there is something that we're thinking, doing, saying isn't in alignment with ourselves. And then we can evaluate it, and then we can make change. Change can be a little, change can be a lot. Change that's done in baby steps has more longevity than change that happens suddenly, because then we go back in and we second guess ourselves, especially if it doesn't appear at the very beginning. It's exactly the direction we want it to go. Now we're stressed again. So in dealing with unresolved issue, it's baby steps. Identify it, how much stress is behind it, what is the emotion, and what can you do in a very methodical, sequential baby step way to be able to literally change what's creating stress so it doesn't come back. When I look at using, look at stress in the energy body, what all the energy body is doing when we get that de-stress, that disease in the physical body, is just saying, hey, take a pause, get present in the moment. What needs to come back? What do you need to change? What do you need to do to bring balance and harmony and energetics, that energetic balance back into your body? The problem is that we don't get in the present moment. We just are busy, 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 and we kind of sweep it under the rug. And the nice thing about it is it's going to come back up. But when it does, it comes up a little bit stronger. So what you can do to be able to manage stress in your life is that you, here's a couple of quick things that you can do. Very, very easy. One of the things, it's called an exercise called nowhere to go and nothing to do. It's a mantra. What you do is you take a deep breath. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in the car. It doesn't put you in an altered state or anything. It does relax you. It relaxes the stress in your body, but it doesn't affect you necessarily from the standpoint that you'd have to pull over by the side of the road. But what you do is you take a deep breath, breathing through your nose, and you say to yourself, nowhere to go. And then what you do is on the exhale, again, from your mouth, breathe in through the nose, exhale from the mouth, nothing to do. So what you do is breathe in through the nose, and then you say, you come in and you say, nowhere to go. And it just tells your mind, stop thinking about the future. Be present in the moment. There's nowhere to go. And then what you do is when you exhale, nothing to do, it says to your mind, you can stop the chatter. You can stop the worry. You can stop the emotions, the ruminating, the spinning, the monkey mind, as the Tibetan Buddha looks at that mind that spins and spins. Nothing to do. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing to do, again in your breathing. And it's absolutely amazing how quickly not only does it change your patterns of thinking, but what it does is it changes your body. You exhale out all of those negative emotions and you bring in all of those positive emotions. Very, very very refreshing and very stress relieving. There's another one. This one is something that you don't do when you're driving, but you can do when you're working or running around the house or sitting at your computer. It's called relax the face. What you do is you get yourself comfortable. You close your eyes in a seating position. You get comfortable in chair, close your eyes, and you say to yourself, relax the forehead, relax the eyes, relax the mouth. And the reason for that is that's where we carry stress in our face, is in the forehead. We block our intuition. We can't see the options. Our eyes only see what's literally in front of us. It can't see anything beyond. And our mouth becomes very, very tense. We get those puckered lips. We get that great closing and clamping down of the jaw. We might grind our teeth when we get stressed. So what we do is close our eyes, relax the forehead, relax the eyes, relax the mouth, and repeat this process several times. If it's not, you're not feeling the relief that you're looking for, continue it. And what you'll find is when you get through, you may fall asleep, but it'll be a very brief nap. Most cases, once you get into it, you'll find that you don't fall asleep. But then when you get through with that process, your body feels like it's energetically back in harmony, and it'll feel like you literally had a 10 or 15 minute nap. So again, nowhere to go, nothing to do. Relax the forehead, relax the eyes, relax the mouth. Very, very powerful, simple yet powerful stress relievers that you can do that can literally detox, relax the muscles, get you back into that state of harmony. So very, very good tools to be able to use. And, of course, there's many, many others. But I find that in the work that I do with people, especially around dealing with chronic illness, these are the two things that are simple. They can do them anytime, and it works tremendously. I'd like to jump in. Hi, Carmen from North Carolina. How are you, sweetie? How can I help you?
Hey, Carol. I'm so thrilled to talk to you. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I have been dealing with fatigue for quite some time, and I feel like I'm making good progress, but I would love your help and anything you see, any advice you could give me.
I can. First of all, I'm going to pull out a box of gold stars, and I want to give you a box of gold stars for the fact that you've been doing this for a while and that you haven't given up, and that any time you get to that place, you know, it's like, okay, what can I do now? What can I look at now? So first of all, you've done a lot of psychological work, a lot of release work, a lot of patterns of behavior, thinking that you've been conditioned to think about yourself and about your life. Your attitudes are changing. So psychologically, sweetie, you've done a tremendous job. Gold stars.
Thank you.
Where we want to go in now is we really want to go in, and the first thing that I'm picking up is that your body is still displaying some of the sensitivities that is the result of it's kind of like, it feels to me, sweetie, like a couple years ago, maybe 18 months, 24 months ago, it's something created stress that it's like you stuck your finger in a 220 light socket.
Yes, and what EMS that means in my apartment.
Yep. And that means that everything at that point in time, you just lost connection with yourself. Your body lost connection with itself. Your pituitary gland was, you know, screaming Mimi about anything that was happening emotionally. There was overreaction, overstimulation from the things your pituitary gland was going in and saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I don't know what to do. The adrenals responded accordingly. So when we look at the physical body, there's a couple of things. The adrenals are still fatigued. They've come a long way. So it isn't that they're not working. They're working so much better than they were even a month ago. So whatever you're doing is working there. The other thing that you can do is you can look at, because of that hypersensitivity that you've been under emotionally, your body, the liver, the adrenals, and the spleen is not talking as effectively as it needs to. The liver isn't detoxifying as effectively. So you can look at a mild liver cleanse. Please mild, work with someone. The best thing to do is no liver cleanse, but you can go in and do it naturally. I'll give you a couple things. You can look at the foods that you eat. You want to eat alkalized, charged foods. There's wonderful work on ARE. With Edgar Cayce's work about how to alkalize both in the physical body and then also from the different levels. You can look at acid alkaline diet books, but the main thing is to alkalize. Greens, red, orange, yellows are really alkalizing. The other thing is I work with a gastrointestinal doctor that could help, because a lot of your still the lingering part of the chronic fatigue has to do with gastrointestinal issues, sweetie.
Okay.
So
wow.
What we want to do is we want to cleanse that liver. And one of the things, I have a doctor that says, okay, you get a pot. Don't do an aluminum pot that you're going to put on the stove. You're going to use distilled water because it tends to be more clean. And then what you're going to do is you're going to put in beets, turnips, parsnips, greens, kale, beet tops, all kinds of things, carrots, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, all the things that you may not eat. Put it in this pot, and you want to simmer it to the point where all of these vegetables become tender or wilt. So what I always suggest is put all the vegetables, the beets, the turnips, the parsnips that take longer, put it in the pot first and then add your greens at the end. And then what this gastrointestinal doctor says is that he says basically what you're going to do is throw away the vegetables because they've given you all the support that you need. Then you're going to drink this broth on a daily basis, multiple times during the day, almost the broth wholly, completely the first day, then you can put more foods into it. It may cause some little bit of diarrhea, but that's the cleansing that's happening. It's nothing that can cause any harm. And then what that does is it's a great liver cleanse. It's a natural one. It uses fruits, it uses vegetables to be able to do it. The
okay.
next thing is the adrenal support. Oh, I just took a deep breath for you. The situation in your apartment, it's really complex. How often can you get away from this? Do you get out daily? Do you have things that you do for you on a daily basis that can get you out of the apartment, get you out of the situation?
Yeah, well, I moved a little over a year ago, and I thought my current apartment was okay. It was the other apartment I was in that had
yeah.
mold poisoning and really high EMFs.
Yeah.
So I was thinking my current apartment was okay. Are you getting something different?
I'm picking up that where you are in your apartment still in your mind has that fear around it. So what you can do is go in, because that's keeping those adrenals kind of going along. It may be, you know, you'll smell something or you'll see something or anything. Go in and spend some time. You might want even feng shui, or bring someone in with feng shui, and then clear the energy out of the place. It is a good place, but still psychologically, it's still there. That part that created that hypersensitivity in your mind is still there. And we just want to get rid of that so you can cleanse your place, kind of like I worked at cleansing your liver, and you can cleanse your place to be able to go in and to be sure that everything is good. It is good. There's an area in the bathroom underneath the sink, left-hand side underneath the sink, that go in there, and you might want to do a little bit of Lysol, or you might want to do something. You have to be careful because you have a sensitivity to chemicals and to smells, but there's a little bit of something in there. It's not anything to be afraid of, but it's something that I know that you're picking up. That's another reason why I picked it up in the apartment that you're in. So
okay.
just a little bit of Lysol, a little bit of cleanser, whatever it may be, and then just cleanse that part of it, feng shui it, send it good energy, get that qi moving in that area, and it can work well for you. The other thing is that when you alkalize your body, it'll help you with your adrenals. It'll help that kind of deep-seated anxiety that I have in you. And then it's also going to help your immune system. Your immune system feels like it's kind of still attacking things, nothing like it was before, but attacking things in a way that it's still being hypervigilant and treating things as an allergen. So the gastrointestinal part, the liver, the adrenals, tied to, of course, the stomach, watch the foods that you put in, the immune system with the alkalized foods, also knowing that you're safe, you're comfortable, you can be where you are, do whatever you need to get that to that place mentally, and that will help you as far as the immune system itself. You still have some sensitivities to chemical fumes. You still have some sensitivities through your skin to actual chemicals. You'll want to be very careful. Use things that are really, really green, organic, that doesn't have, I know I said Lysol, fine if there's something else. The only reason I said Lysol is it's really a disinfectant that'll just go in and wham it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But look at those different things. So that's the things that you can do now to be able to take your physical body to the next level that will be able to help you in taking that next step in dealing with the CFS.
Okay. So I didn't hear you mention thyroid once, which I'm surprised. So.
I know. And you know what? I, even when you said that and I went and looked at it, I cannot pick up thyroid. So what are you doing with thyroid?
I haven't been doing anything. It's just I have been working with a couple practitioners, one homeopathically and one more medical testing and natural supplements. Mm-hmm. And I was severely anemic for like 10 years, and my blood wouldn't build, and that has finally started to turn around. My ferritin went from 3 to 11, and I think it's even higher now. And so anyway, once that was fixed and I still didn't feel at all any better, I thought there must be endocrine system stuff going on. It must be thyroid stuff because I just don't have any energy, but it's the adrenals.
Nope. It's the adrenals, and it's that pituitary adrenal dance. Now, the thyroid can get caught in between, but I'm not picking up anything with thyroid. By the way, a lot of the one of the roles of the liver in its job responsibility is that it's part of the production of red blood cells counts that basically it stimulates it. Works in unison with a red blood marrow. And what it does is that people that are anemic work with their liver. So here's how it happened. Pituitary talks to the adrenals. Adrenals go, oh my gosh, something's really bad. Liver comes in and goes, what's bad? What's bad? Immune system goes, I'll go attack it.
Yeah.
And then it runs around and the immune system going, what am I supposed to attack? And the liver goes, I don't have a clue, but the adrenals are still going, attack, attack. So you can see how that dynamics works. So what you want to do is work in those three areas, but I didn't, I've still been poking, sweetie, and I am not picking up a darn thing with the thyroid. So whatever you've been doing, the self-talk, setting some boundaries, drawing some lines in the sand about what's acceptable and not, finding your own voice, whatever it is that you're doing is working. I'm not picking up anything.
Okay.
Good deal, huh?
Okay, that's great. And I will be on the call this month, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, and thank you so much for sending me also the email. And then, like I said to you, that, you know, if I see your name, voila, and there you are. Thanks, love. I'll talk to you on the 26th.
You're so sweet. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's see if I can. I'm going to go in. Debbie from Utah. Sweetie, I've only got a couple of about 3 minutes. Can we do it in that time?
Yes, I just wanted to know if I needed to get to the doctor, Carol, because, you know, I'm going through the menopause. I don't know if my adrenals are involved, my thyroid, but I've just had a period for 2.5 weeks.
You do, sweetie. And what you want to do is that in that particular process, with the amount of bleeding that you're having, the color of the blood that you're having, and then also it feels like the texture of the blood itself, go to the doctor, talk to the doctor about it. I don't know if you're open to it, but one of the things that the doctor might suggest is having a D&C. And what they'll do is they'll go in and they'll just, you know, kind of cauterize the uterine lining so your endometrial lining in the uterus doesn't get so thick and everything, sweetie. I don't know if that's what the doctor will do, but I would do that because what you're doing is you're losing a large quantity of blood. And what we don't want is we don't want you to fall into an anemia situation due to having too much blood loss.
Yeah, it appears to be that way. Okay.
Yeah. So I would do that. Listen to what the doctor says and then weigh your options and stuff with it. It's like that endometrial lining is built up and the progesterone isn't sending the message to the body, hey, stop the shedding, stop the mincy part. And
yeah,
so
I just
what
took a whole bunch of progesterone cream because I realized I was deficient in that. And I don't know whether that will help it in the long run or whether I've gotten to a situation where I'm really in trouble.
No, first of all, you're not really in trouble. The progesterone will help, but there's a couple of things that really encouraged me to send you the doctor. Number one, it's the color of the blood, and number two, it's the quality of the blood. I'm actually getting thickening. There feels like there's a little bit of clotting and so forth. The blood itself isn't that dark, rich red color that you would normally get.
So it isn't even
the amount as much as it is the quality. And what that's saying is that there's not enough progesterone. That should be able to help you. But ask your doctor also also if would be open to running a hormone test. Find out where your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is, and that's going to help be able to regulate how much progesterone you need. And what it is it's kind of like taking a lot right now to stop the process, but it may very well be that what will happen as you continue on is this endometrial lining will continue to get too thick, and then that's where the DNC may be able to help you. So be open, ask the question, sweetie, and figure out where you go from there. Ask for your blood work, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. But you're not in trouble, sweetie. We just don't want you to get anemic over all of it.
Yeah, I just don't know whether to go to the doctor. My insurance is, you know, I just don't know whether to go now, or I'm just a little confused.
Well, okay. So let's first of all go in and let me tell you, you are not hemorrhaging.
Okay.
That's very important for you to do. Number two is if you've started the progesterone, sweetie, I would give yourself maybe on the long side a couple more days, Monday at the very, very latest. And then if it hasn't stopped, then go to the doctor.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that does help.
Okay. Well, light and love to you, and thanks for calling me.
Thanks,
all right. My pleasure. I want to end the show with just one final thought is the gift of stress is that it arouses consciousness and ensures that we don't repeat the thoughts that limit who we are and what we're capable of becoming. If you can see stress as a positive instead of a negative and sweeping it under the rug, it's going to be much better. I want to thank all of you for joining me today, all of the callers, all of the listeners that continue to support my show. Just a reminder, if you have to miss the show, you can listen to it in my archives at 24/7 by logging on to www.ritberger.com. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you, share my medical intuitive skills. Thank you for all of your suggestions. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.